And I believe that brings us to the end of the Habitat Management Division portion of the agenda. We're going to break for lunch, but before we do, I'm going to open the floor for anybody that wishes to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda. Mr. Ray, you're first. Yes.
I'm going to come to ask, been trying to sell my commercial card, my oyster license. I did not meet the requirements for the 40-day harvest because my license was suspended. I got my license back. I'm just asking to be able to sell.
Mr. Button, Chief Riley, are you familiar with this case?
Commissioner, we're both familiar with the case, and I think what's involved here is Mr. Ray would like to have the ability to purchase the Oyster Resource user fee in order to transfer that fee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
At the same time, Mr. Button will present the information. He has some slides. I think the unusual circumstance here is that the way that the regulation reads, in order to be able to purchase a resource fee, you have had to have held that, you have to have paid for it the previous year. And because of unusual circumstances, we thought the commission should hear this situation. Thank you.
Mr. Button, you have a couple of slides?
Yes.
Yeah, let's take a look.
Mr. Ray here does have a good harvest history paying the Oyster Resource user fee. So this is sort of his all gear user fee record there, the gear license that he's been in. So he's had some shellfish violation history here. So these are the shellfish. These are the shellfish violation history issues that have come up. So we had the harvesting from polluted grounds. He was found guilty of that. That was on 12/5/2011. Oystering during closed seasons, also again in 2011. Some other oyster violations in 2014 and in 2016 as well. So these are the commission actions that sort of put us where we are now in terms of his ability not to transfer the license, the oyster license user fee. So he was on revocation here starting on on January 26, 2016 for 6 months. And then the second probation period after that. Then he was again revoked on January 24th of 2017, and he just came off revocation now. And I believe my understanding is what you'd like to do is
get rid of it all.
Basically be able to sell the oyster resource.
I got me a land job. I got jobs. I got a job interview at the shipyard on the 6th. Trying to get rid of everything.
So the current regulation states that in order to be eligible to transfer, he has to have had 40 days in the previous calendar year due to the violations. We'd look back to other previous calendar years. So he doesn't have it in 2016. Didn't have it in 2017. Because he was revoked, he has last year that he didn't have any revocation was 2015, and he had 65 harvest days. I will note that he would have had the ability to get 40 days in 2016. Obviously not in 2017 because it was nearly a full year revocation. So those are his harvest day history there. And the question is, I guess, that we're asking the commission is, he's eligible now to buy the user fee in 2018. He's just not eligible to transfer the user fee. And so that's the sort of distinction there. So we're not taking away his eligibility, just his eligibility to transfer that fee.
All right, well, I'll say my thought here just for a second here. License revocation should in no way, from my perspective, interfere with a person reentering the fishery that they were in before the sanctions began. I think that's a fairness issue. But in this particular case, Mr. Button, what you're saying here is that there was a six-month window in 2016, if I have that correctly here, where Mr. Ray was just on probation. And
that's correct.
There was an opportunity. But it was a very small window that we would otherwise have afforded other people over 2 years that was truncated because of the sanction decision by the board. Ms. Block, do you have a legal perspective?
No, just wrapping my head around it.
Okay. Mr. Ballard?
Question. The Oyster User Resource Fee, we've made so many changes, it's tough to keep them straight. But so that is limited entry now. We don't allow anyone to purchase the Oyster User Resource Fee. And so that's why this has some value, because he can get compensated for that and transfer it to someone else. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's correct. Right now, you can only... No one new can purchase the user fee unless they get a transfer, and no one's allowed to transfer it to a non-family member unless they have 40 days harvest history. And that's correct. That's a way of sort of adding value to that license. Yeah.
I'll remind the board here that this was the actions taken in order to eventually reduce the number of participants in the oyster fishery. We had 1,100 license holders. And we reached the acknowledgement that we can never, ever, ever grow enough oysters to meet the needs and requirements of 1,100 license holders. So that's why the limited entry was put into effect. I would argue in this particular case that this wasn't Mr. Ray's fault directly, that he didn't have as ample an opportunity to get the 40-day harvest requirement in order to transfer a user fee. But I feel strongly that a license sanction is for that offense that was, and there should not be a further repercussion that was outside somebody's ability to remedy in a reasonable way, if that makes sense. Mr. Neal.
So if I've got this, so he can get the user fee this year for 2018.
That's correct.
And then he could go out and harvest oysters in 2018.
That's correct.
And then he could transfer it in 2019.
That's correct.
So he's basically asking for that ability to do it in 2018 and not have to go out and get back into work in 2018.
I got a job, so I mean, I'm working full time. So I don't have I don't have no time to go out there and oyster and then go to work every night.
So are you anticipating getting out of all the commercial fisheries?
Yes, sir. I'm getting rid of it all.
Mrs. Everett?
And you don't think, Commissioner Bull, you don't think this compromises that original 10 of kind of through attrition trying to reduce the lights out there? In this case, it doesn't really make a big difference.
Your point's right on par. I mean, right on point that, I mean, these are two conflicting goals that we have here. I mean, one of them is a need and a desire to limit the entry and to limit the passing on of licenses, user fees in this case, that aren't used in a full-time capacity. And that's the goal and the regulation. On the other hand, there's a fairness issue here from my perspective, and they come into conflict a bit. And the fairness is, from my perspective, is that the license sanctions that the board had issued to Mr. Ray for previous offenses, from my perspective, shouldn't interfere with the ability to get back into the fishery and the fisheries that they were in after that sanction period has ended. So it's kind of conflicting issues here. Depends on what takes precedent. Mr. Zedrin.
I don't understand what you're asking. I mean, I understand he's authorized to get his license back. to pay the user fee to comply, and then he can sell his license. Then what are you asking for?
No, he can't sell it.
After he does his tour.
For another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he could in 2019.
Yeah, so, but I don't understand what you're asking for, Commissioner.
I guess we're giving an exception. He doesn't want to go back and continue that fishery in 2018.
I don't think Mr. Ray's had a lot of luck in this fishery in recent years.
No. Well, I'm going to comment.
Mr. Zedrin.
Well, we didn't create this problem.
Correct.
And you know, there got to be some consequences somewhere. And so he's lucky that he can get his license back, go do what's required by the law, and then he can transfer. We didn't put him in this situation. And so I think it's, you know, you talk about precedence. I think it's a wrong precedence then to have somebody who violates the rules then experiences a hardship and because he wants to make a buck. He wants us to change the rules. And so, you know, I think if he wants to transfer his license, he gets his user fee, complies with what everybody else has got to do, and then he can transfer it. But I don't think we should have been the rules for that.
Chief O'Reilly.
I think the commission has addressed this very well because the problem is there could have been 40 days of harvest. There were 23. There could have been 40 days of harvest. Yes, it would have been, meaning that it would have had to occur over a few months. But there could have been 40 days of harvest. The commissioner correctly states that the revocation should not be unfair as far as getting back to a fishery. And as you heard Mr. Button say, Mr. Rea can come back and pay the user fee and be in the fishery. I think you would be making an exception, a precedent on this issue, if you allowed Mr. Rea to go ahead and transfer without any other restrictions. He can transfer to a family member now, as was pointed out. The only other exception in the regulation is if there's a medical situation which prevented someone from being able to pay the user fee. So I think the commission has addressed this, but we did need your help on this because it's an unusual circumstance.
And
this is Everett.
Mr. Rea, I assume there's no family member that would be interested in this.
No.
So those are the issues. It's the board's decision. Commission operates on motions. If there's a motion, we'll take it up. If there isn't, the matter dies. I'll ask, is there a motion?
Can I ask, is there a staff recommendation?
Not on this, no.
Well, there is. The staff recommendation is we want to make sure now that the commission has heard this, that we don't ask for an exception on this. We support Mr. Rea being able to be back in the fishery, and that's fair considering he was under revocation, but we don't support Mr. Rea being able to just transfer that license to a non-family member.
Thank you. That makes it clear to me.
So I'll ask, is there a motion? I see no motion. Mr. Ray, good luck to you. Is there anybody else in the audience that's got a matter that's not on the agenda? And please, is it short? Let's make it really short. Yeah, I would, but are you willing? You're short? Please come forward, sir.
Representing my dad, Mark Miles.
Yes.
He's basically on the same thing of his archery license. He's become that age. I have a letter here, just one letter, from his surgeon. He has, with age, he has been a working waterman, 100% working waterman for 64 years. And as of 2017, he only got 14 days in on his archery license. I think it was 14. He lives in Saxis. His time was limited with the weather. And as far as his illness, he has been frostbitten through the years on his right hand and lower arm. And it has due to the ability of the cold weather and the dampness and pain and the mobility of being able to cull archery. And he was just trying to ask you all if there's any way that you could see a medical issue, medical need, because I think his doctor also sent a letter to the RMC, and if he could, you know, basically sell his license without the 40 days, because at 80-year-old, it's very hard for anybody to be asking him to be the mate. And especially, I think the boat catch was changed last year to, I think it was 16 from 24. So basically, you took the third guy off. And basically, you know, it's not that many people out there going to ask an 80-year-old man to jump aboard a boat and be his first mate.
So you're asking for a special exception in this case to allow him to transfer his license to a non-direct family member, even though he doesn't have the minimum 40 days required.
I'm his son, and that is not my profession.
Okay.
I'm an EMS.
Chief O'Reilly? So when we enacted the limited entry provisions, we did foresee this type of event coming at us here and that people would be asking for exceptions.
Staff is sympathetic to this situation. Congratulations to anyone who has worked up to 80 years old. Amen. But unfortunately, the regulation does not allow this type of exception. So in other words, there are going to be cases here and there where individuals either are going to have to choose to stop oystering or transfer the license to someone else. I don't know how we can get around that, because you heard the commissioner, we have about 1,150 or 60 licenses, and a lot of those licenses, frankly, were gained by exceptions before the commission in 2015 stopped allowing folks to get their commercial registration and jump in the oyster fishery.
Right.
So, again, I understand the situation. I had heard about it previously. Unfortunately, the way things are right now, it's either a family member or the medical part is if you couldn't pay the user fee in the particular year, and that hasn't been demonstrated.
Right.
So that would be the staff recommendation to the commission.
Further questions? Commission operates on motions. If there's a motion, we'll take it up. If there are no motions, then the matter dies and we'll move along. Is there a motion? Is there a motion? Is there a motion? I don't see a motion. Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. We're going to break for lunch now. It's been a long morning / early afternoon. We will return in an hour at 2 o'clock on the nose. The February 27th meeting of the Marine Resources Commission is now reconvened after a lunch break. Let the record show that it's a couple minutes after 2 o'clock. We're in the public comment period. Is there somebody who wishes to address the commission on a matter not on the agenda? Please come forward, ma'am. No, I don't need to swear you in here. Just state your name for the record.
Loy Furman.
Welcome.
And
what can we do for you?
My father-in-law, James Furman, he's worked the water for 65 years. He's 80 years old. Mm. He started working when he was in eighth grade. He quit school. He came down and got his card, but he's not worked in a couple of years. So he wanted to pay his, user fee, and they said, you can't. Can we make an exemption? Because he's had several heart attacks. He's been sick. He's just getting back on his feet. Well, his wife died. That set him back. And he hasn't worked in a while. And it means a lot to him if he can get that user fee. It's something he can pass down to my son.
What was the last time he worked on the water?
When was the last time he worked on the water?
3 years.
Chief O'Reilly, would you please? The user fee issue and the limited entry provisions the commission passed.
How are you today? It's unfortunate, but there are regulations that preclude someone from paying the user fee unless they paid it the previous year. And then the only way to, at this time, to be able to pay a user fee is through a transfer. And transfer means money, and so I'm sure that that's a limiting factor.
Okay, well, who would he transfer?
He doesn't have it now, right?
No.
So he would have to find someone who transferred him the user fee. If there were a family member, that could be done directly. If there was a person who's not a family member but had worked 40 days doing oystering in 2017, there could be a transfer there as well.
Just a transfer of the user fee?
The ability to pay a user fee, the eligibility. That's all that's being transferred. But again, I guarantee you that if you're going outside the family, it's going to be a financial consideration. We don't get involved in the finances, but we know that's what's going on.
Well, I thought when you buy a card, that means you can work the war.
Well, it used to mean that years ago, but we have a lot of limited entry fisheries, and this one is one of them on the user fee. It's limited. There are only certain ways you can get the user fee, through a transfer from a family member or from a non-family member, and that's about it.
Now, how come y'all can sell the cards on y'all's site, but I can't sell it to somebody else?
Which card?
Like
the commercial fisherman registration license? That can be sold to someone else or transferred. We just say transfer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that can be transferred to someone else.
Because my brother-in-law, he's in Carolina now, so
right.
He doesn't need his card.
Right.
And he was going to sell it to one of the young men that work for us that doesn't have a card.
Okay.
But the young lady in the office said that because he didn't catch oysters last year,
right,
that he could sell him the card, but he couldn't do the user fee.
Right. That's correct. Well, okay, so
we'll
call it the card.
Can't be used.
The card is a commercial fisherman registration license. It's a license that gains someone entry into the fishery to be able to sell their product.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have other fisheries like striped bass, blue crab, oysters, black sea bass.
So
they're all limited, so that means if you don't meet certain qualifications, you can't do it. Now, I would be happy if you have documentation that if you want to leave documentation with me of this situation, if it's more complicated than what you're portraying, I'll be happy to look that over and call you.
So but I would need to go to the doctor?
Well, in the meantime, it sounds as if he's not your husband. Who's the gentleman back there?
He's my father-in-law.
Your father-in-law. Okay, so your father-in-law hasn't worked in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kept up the commercial registration, the card.
Yeah.
Okay? But he's not eligible directly to pay the user fee. And if you can't pay the user fee, you can't be in the oyster fishery. So that's what's involved there. And the only way that he could be able to pay a user fee and be eligible is if someone transferred the ability to pay to him, his
How
eligibility.
How come somebody else can do that, and we couldn't do that?
Hey, Chief.
Because you don't have eligibility right now. In other words, there are about Andrew here. How many eligibilities are out there?
946.
Okay, so there are 946 individuals who have eligibility for the user fee. Your father-in-law is not one of them. If he wanted to become one of them, he would have to receive a transfer from someone else. And again, I'll be happy to talk to you later on about all this, but it doesn't look like there's much of a situation to help you or your father-in-law today. Okay?
So that precludes as my children would never be able to get in the oyster business.
Only if they received a transfer of eligibility to be able to pay that user fee.
So y'all are ditching the heritage.
Well, the commission made a decision a few years ago to establish this limited entry situation. And it would be so many individuals in the oyster fishery that it can't sustain that many individuals for quite a long time.
A point of order here, Mr.
Yes.
Fish. I would ask that the presenters address the board and not each other.
Yeah, I agree with that here. Ma'am, let's wrap this up for the time being here. So what we have here is a lot of people in the oyster fishery. We came to the realization at the board that we cannot ever create enough oysters to be able to feed everybody's needs to harvest oysters. The board decided to go to a limited entry fishery where that people can transfer their licenses to a direct family member or to outside the family if they've had harvest of 40 days the previous year. The intent is to constrict the number of oyster licenses to full-time 40-day-a-year people that would allow that fishery to become more stable.
Well, I understand getting rid of the part-time people. Now, how do you become work 40 days if you can't get a license?
You're not allowed into the fishery.
Okay. So you've set a quota that's impossible.
It's not open to everybody. This is now a limited entry fishery.
Okay, but you said if they work 40 days, but they can't work 40 days.
If they work 40 days, you can transfer your oyster user fee eligibility to somebody else who is not a direct family member. That's the minimum criterion that has to be met in order to make that transfer possible under the regulations passed by this board.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be a family member on the user fee.
It has. You can transfer directly to a direct family member, period. But you cannot transfer a license to somebody who's not a direct family member unless someone has used that license and paid the user fee for 40 days the previous year.
But y'all can do it on your own site?
No.
A lot of y'all have a site that sells
it. You're confusing the limited entry fishery gear and user fee issues with the public service that we do to facilitate the sale of licenses and gear.
I don't believe it's that.
I'm going to do one last thing here, which is here's the record for James E. Furman Sr., okay? Mm-hmm. The problem is that Mr. Furman did pay the user fee back in 2015, but that's the last time. He did get a renewal of his commercial registration in 2016, 17, and 18, but he failed to come back by December 31st of 2017 to pay a user fee. So he hadn't paid it since.
Late.
No, he hasn't paid it since 2015. But yes, he did not come back and pay the user fee. So what I'm going to do is feel free to call me. And we can talk some more, but he's not eligible. And, apologies that that's the case, but that's what did happen.
Okay, can he get a refund on his license since y'all are incapable for him to use it?
How about you all discuss that at another point here? We got a long agenda here to get through. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, the public comment section is closed.